Jesus went up on the side of a mountain and people came to him because they recognized that he had words of life. And he said to them, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for these are the ones that will be filled." The ones who hunger and thirst for me, the ones that are going to get filled. I just checked another translation and it said, those who long for my righteousness are blessed because they will be filled with my life. We want to be filled with your life, Lord. Your life is hope and it's life. It's full of vibrance. It's full of positive expectation, Jesus. Your life. You want to be filled with your life, Jesus. And the ones who get that are the hungry ones. The ones who long for him. Oh, Sharabasi. They're the ones that are filled with his life. And his life is love. It's power. His anointing is in his life. His sustaining strength is in his life. Just sustaining, holding, upholding us and releasing every single tension out of your life. It's all tied up in him. I was looking at strength and thinking about it. And the Lord took me to Isaiah chapter 46. Says, those whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. Those who put all their hope in him, those who've got their whole focus in him, they're going to be strong. They're going to be strong. They will soar on wings just as eagles do. They will run and they will not grow weary. They will walk and they will not be faint. There's this incredible picture I have of this eagle in the mountains. And they just kind of get in facing the prevailing wind. And they open their wings and they present their wings to the prevailing wind. And the wind lifts them off the ledge they're sitting on. And they soar. And they don't have to do an awful lot of flapping to do that. As long as they present their wings at the right angle to the wind coming towards them. And the Lord said to me, in the same way, when you present yourself to the Holy Spirit, in the same way, and you keep yourself focused in that same way, he will lift you. And you will begin to soar on wings just like an eagle. You will not get weary. You will not get tired. You will run. You'll not run out of the energy you need. Dot and I were thinking about talking a lot about this church and what it's been like, this journey, and where we've come from. And this has been for many of us a very difficult year. It's probably been the hardest year I can ever remember. In many ways, and I think a lot of people have said to me, this has been a tough year, and I know a lot of prophecies are speaking about the toughness of this year, and what this year has meant to so many people. And, you know, we came here, and loads of people left the church, and we thought, oh my word, where are we going, what's happening, how's this going to succeed, Lord, this is so difficult. And then we went off to this conference with this woman called Isabel Allam, and she called, Dot and I were brought up to her, and she wanted to prophesy over us. And for 12 minutes, she stood there talking to us about who we are in Christ and what God has called us to be and to do. And I'm standing there thinking, are you serious? I mean, have you got any idea what we're doing right now? How can this be? How can this be possible? And she spoke of things which the Lord spoke to us about even before we left Africa to come here. And she spoke about those things and the vision that Lord gave us. And when we were at Faith Camp, before we even moved to London, and Raul Villarreal was there from South America, from Argentina. And he's got this amazing, amazing work. And Raul came up to us and he said, he said, in Spanish through an interpreter, I'm so glad that you guys have moved to London and da-da-da. And then he looked at me and he said, non sole Londres. And I said, what? And he said, not only London. And I thought, whoa. And then we pieced that together with Pastor Colin, and just a few weeks before that, and he'd said to us in an elders' meeting, when you move to London, what you will start will not be just a local church. It'll be a much broader than that. We forgot about that. You know, what happens when you get caught up in the difficulty of sustaining your life and just surviving, you just look at surviving, and you just look at what's immediately around you, and you think, this is all I am, this is all I can be. If I could just last another month, if we just get another month done, we'll be all right. If we could just go another month, we'll just survive another month. And then this person dares to say, the Lord's put an apostolic anointing on you, and God's got a mission call in your life to reach nations. And you're thinking, no, it can't be, because what's happened in the pressure, the cauldron you're living in of just survival, all you're seeing is the pressure. And you're just seeing survival. You're seeing these walls that come up around you. And they're walls of difficulty. Walls which say you can't. Walls which say you will not. Walls which say what you are will never be beyond this. And you sit there and you think, what am I doing? Where am I going? What am I doing here? And I think that probably in most of your lives, right at this moment, there are walls. And there are walls which say, you can't. There are walls which say, stop dreaming because it's never going to happen. There are walls which say, you'll never get past this. And I was thinking about Joshua and Caleb, who went with the 12 guys to spy out the land on behalf of Israel. And when they got into the land, they came back, and 10 of them brought the most appalling report about the size of the opponents and how well-fortified the cities were. But Joshua and Caleb looked at this land, and they said, but we can take this land. We really can have this land. And they said, no way, you can't have this land. You know, we're going to get better. We stayed in Israel, in Egypt, and die than go to this land. And I thought, wow, they saw the same thing the other guys saw. How come they saw they could, and 10 guys said they couldn't? And what I realized is, when you've come through a process of the pressure and the cauldron of your life and the fires Nigel was singing about a moment ago, and you come through that fire and you look at that fire, and that fire says you can't, you never will, and those giants in that land are so big and so massive, and they so tell you, you won't ever do what you believe God has got for you to do. And so eventually some of us allow ourselves to get beaten down to become a point where all we believe is the size of the giants. And all we believe is that's it. And you know, if we could pass this microphone around, there'll probably be pressures of some kind in every one of your lives right now. Pressures of disappointments that you hoped would be fulfilled and you haven't seen. There's pressures of health issues. There are pressures of financial issues, job issues, accommodation issues. Pressures just of living your lives. And then, couple that, there are the things God has promised you. And you look at those promises and you think, I can't even begin to think about that, Lord, I dare not. Because it just seems so incredibly possible. And then these two guys, Joshua and Caleb, say we can. And if you look with me in what happened in Joshua chapter 14, and you see this incredible response of God to these people. Just go with me to Joshua chapter 14, please. And have a look with me at verse 6. Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal. Remember, Moses has died, and Joshua is now leading them. And Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord, my God, wholeheartedly. So on that day Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance, and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive these 40 years since the time he said that to Moses while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to do battle now as I was then. Now, give me this hill country the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and the cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said." Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So this guy gets this promise from God at the age of 40. And for 45 years, he walks through the wilderness with these guys. And he sees all the opposition and he sees the problems. And after 45 years, he's still holding on and saying, "That's what I'm here for. That land belongs to me. That mountain is mine, and I'm not giving up this mountain because I'm here for that mountain, and I'm going to have it." 45 years. Oh, my word, that's a long time. It's older than most of you. And this guy is holding on for this promise. Do you think he had opposition in those 45 years? Do you think he had problems? They wanted to stone him for his positive report. But for 45 years, he held on to what God had promised him and said, "This is what you're going to have." Oh, my. I don't know if I've got 45 years to spare, but nonetheless. God saw the heart of this man, and he saw the heart because the guy was wholeheartedly following God. And remember what that said: those who seek my righteousness will be full of my life. And the ones who are full of his life are the ones that are not fazed by the size of the demons in the land. And they say, "But God has promised, and God has said it, and if God said it, we're going to take it, because God has called us to this." And Joshua and Caleb saw the same things, but they saw it differently. You know, we've got this grid in front of our eyes. And that some of us have got grids of possible, and some of us have got grids of impossible. And you look through that grid, and that grid defines what it can or can't be. And you just know you can or you can't, depending on what your grid is. And just like Caleb, his focus was on God's power to give them the victory in the land. His focus wasn't what he could do or couldn't do. And I want to tell you something right now. There is not one person that God doesn't have a plan for in this room, because he says, "I know the plans I have for you. Plans to give you a future and a hope." You know that God has plans for people who aren't even saved yet, because he's got plans for them. He never rejected them. He's got plans for them that he wants to fulfill. Fulfilling the promises does not require you to be a good boy. Fulfilling the promises is you've got to be a lover of God. You've got to love him more than you love your own life. Now, what is it that you're trusting God for? Because this coming year is a year of fulfillment. It truly is a year of fulfillment. That's the establishing year. a lot of things in the spirit realm were coming into place in this last year. And that's why some of us and some of you have experienced extraordinary difficulties and oppositions that you never believed you would have. And certainly if you look in the nations, there have been the most outrageous things happening. But now is a start of a new year. It's the start. And I don't know about you, but I got up this morning with Dot, and we sat there and we just listened to this prophecy by this woman, Isabel Allen, and we listened to what God said. And we said, Lord, forgive us. Forgive me. That I allowed my circumstances to dictate to me what you can do. I am not. My future is not defined by where I've come from or how I've survived it or how well or how badly I've done it. My future is defined by the promises of God. And I'm either going to believe him or I'm going to believe my problem. And I don't know what it is that you're facing right now. I believe every one of you is facing something. God has a plan for you and you know it. And you've not seen that plan fulfilled in your life. You've seen a huge gap between what God has promised you and where you are now. And right now, in this moment, God wants to begin to fulfill the plan. He wants you and I, like Joshua and Caleb, to look at these giants and not get spooked by them and say, but God can give me this land. It's time for the people of God to say, give me my mountain. Give me my hill country. I came for nothing. I didn't come for this to struggle here and battle and wonder whether we'll survive another. I came for the hill country. I came for the taking of the land. I want to see us fulfill the mandate God set before us. And I'm not going to give up just because the circumstances don't look all that brilliant at the moment. But God. There's not one of you, Sehwan, you could rise up, you could go back to Korea, which is the last thing you want to do. And you could establish a work in Korea. You could infiltrate North Korea right into China. You could affect Tibet. You could affect a whole portion of the world. Nobuka, you could end up back in Japan. And you could be turning parts of Japan around. And Buddhism could be moving out of Japan just because. And I'm not saying this is God's plan for you. But I do know his plan for you is a good plan. And I do know that when God looks at you, he speaks according to what he sees. He speaks according to the mountaintop. He doesn't speak according to where you and I might be at the bottom of the mountain. And he doesn't look at you and say, well, maybe they will fulfill, but I doubt it. He sees you. And you know, as Isabel Allen pointed out, a prophecy is not an endorsement of your character. It's purely an invitation to change. God offers you a promise. And you can either look at that promise and say, no, the giants are too big. Or you can say, okay, that's your promise, then I'm going to do it. I'm going to take that land. And you know, it'll start with you making one step. Because to climb any mountain, when you're at the bottom of it, you have to start making the first step up that mountain. And you have to keep climbing to get up it. And just deciding you have a promise from God that you're going to see fulfilled in your life is a good first step to take. It's a very good first step to put your foot on the mountain and say, I'm on my way up. It might take you 45 years. Some of you have got 45 years to spare. But you'll climb your mountain and you'll see the fulfillment of God's promise. Do you know that there are gifts in this room which have never been released? They're sitting there dormantly in our lives. There are gifts of all manner and description. There are capabilities in your lives right now which could so transform so many things. And all God's looking for is people who are saying, okay, I won't despise the day of small beginnings. I might be at the bottom of a very big mountain. But I'm going to start climbing this mountain. And I'm not going around it again. I've done that enough times. I'm going up this mountain because the summit is where God speaks from. And God's inviting you and I to climb this mountain tonight. He's inviting you and saying, do you want this? You can have it. Whatever it is you're longing for, you can have it. But you've got to start climbing your mountain. Because you know what our enemy does? Is he's a liar. Jesus says he's the father of all lies, so he must be intensely good at it. But all he does is he accuses you constantly and tells you you're a failure, you're no good, you'll never make it, you failed at whatever else you failed at, and you're not likely to succeed at anything. And everything that's failed in the past defines that it will fail again in the future. And you're a victim of your circumstances. You'll never get past this. And how dare you even think you could do something amazing? And you know what? The Lord showed us this afternoon. We were praying. If you just push against it, it goes away. You just say, I don't care what you say. I'm choosing to believe that Christ in me is the hope of glory. Amen. You're a liar. And I'm not going to respond according to your lies. I'm responding according to what God says. I choose to walk up this mountain. I choose to scale it because that's given me to scale. And if God says to me that that's who I am, guys, I want to urge you in this week that we're going to fasting from Sunday, I'm going to urge you, take out your prophecies. Take out things God has spoken over your life. I know several over yours life. Get them out again. Read them through every single day of that week. Read them through and say, God, you said these things. You must mean this. I've allowed this to go dry and dormant in my life. I've forgotten what it is that you've said, but I'm choosing to remember this again and make a decision that you will not stop until you see that fulfilled in your life. And so, here we are, starting a year. And it's really exciting. I have never been so excited in a long time. I suddenly think, oh yeah, it's possible. Oh yes, this is possible. The Poolies are going to go and live in France one day and do the most amazing. Amazing things there. I don't know. It could be anything. It could be after. Who knew I would come and live in this country? I was very happy where I was. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Whoever wrote Hebrews made an important statement in chapter 4, verse 7. He was referring to the people of Israel who saw the most miraculous things that God did and just kept saying, you know, every time it got tough again, oh, it's better we just stay there. It was better to live there than here. And he says, today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your hearts as they did in the rebellion and they never entered the rest. Don't do it. You know what's amazing about that in Numbers 24 or something like that, 14? Do you know that Moses changes God's mind? I mean, it's incredible. God was so ticked off with these Israelites that he was going to wipe the Lord out. And Moses kind of sits there and says, now listen, God. I just want to make a point here. The Egyptians know you took us out of there. If you wipe us all out, then the Egyptians are going to say you couldn't do this. And God relents and he says, okay, I won't wipe you all out. You can change God's mind. A man changed God's mind. What kind of factors are there over your lives that need to get changed? If you can change God's mind, you can change anything. It's not impossible. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. How well educated you are or not, it is not impossible, for the God's word says all things are possible with God. All things are possible. Doesn't matter what it is. Paul, you're not just one book, Paul, a series of things that affect you. The Lord says you're going to see a multiplication coming upon you as well. And the Lord is going to bring increase to you. You are trainers and equippers in the house, and you're going to train and equip many. I saw many waiting to be prepared to be sent out. And the Lord says he is going to make you like an Antioch ministry. And an Antioch in the land, for many will go to the nations, where the nations will be your backyard. And whatever you want, you will have. And whatever you want to go and do, you can do. The Lord says, look at the nations and send people to the nations, for you have builders in your hands and you have children ready to go forward. The Lord is going to uncap ancient wells for you. He will give you the vision of the ancient wells in the land and you will go to other places to uncap those wells. And I see you uncapping wells of revival and wells of visitation, wells of supernatural encounters with visitations and supernatural manifestations in the land. Many have stopped believing in that, and I saw you coming to bring it back, to make people believe in the visitations of God and the encounters of the Lord. That plus a load of stuff is our declaration. Who? Us 12? Yes. Oh, Father, you're not limited by people. You're not limited by money. You're not limited by anything. There is no limitation on you, Father. You are God, and you can do all things. And so we choose to trust you tonight. And we make this declaration tonight from this church. And we say, give us now this hill country. This has been promised us. We're coming for it, Lord. We don't care how big the giants are. We say we're coming for what you've got for us. We will take that land. Thank you, Jesus, so much. We choose to gear ourselves up. We gird our loins and off we go. But, Father, we won't stop until we see the fulfillment of every promise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, that's a good first step. Now, how about you? What are the steps that God's wanting you to take? What are the promises that are lying dormant in your life? I want to ask you, I want to invite anybody here who believes they have a promise from God that the Lord's reminded them of. And I want you to come and ask you to just declare it to this meeting and we will agree with it. We'll say, yes, Lord. But you see, that's how you take your first step up the mountain, is you own the promise. You say, yeah, God, that's what you said. We're going to take that step. We're climbing this mountain. We're not giving up. We're not backing off. And I want my brothers and sisters to hear me. We're not backing off. We're not backing down for anyone. Come on. Come on, guys. Come on. You're not called to be afraid. You're called to be full of fire. Come on, stir your hearts. Stir yourselves. Stir yourselves. Zobrash.
Father, I thank you that we are going to take this mountain. We're asking, we're just saying, give me this mountain, God. And I just declare I will be writing books and I will be taking the land with legs.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, my prophecy over me was that my job as a teacher is my calling. And I've already seen a little bit of that by allowing God access to one child in my class by praying for him. And already God's completely turned that child around, like everything's transformed about him. It's amazing. I can tell you more about it later. But like, I want more of that. So I just declare that I will allow God full access into my job. Amen. And I will pray for all my class and my colleagues and whatever he wants me to do.
Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. You've got a big fat promise sitting there waiting to be fulfilled. You know it. Go for it.
Well, God promised me that I'd be a prophetess in the body of Christ. So I just believe God for that.
Make
in Jesus' name.
I will be
in Jesus' name. And I will be, get the divine appointments and the equipping that's necessary.
Amen.
For that fulfillment in
Amen.
Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We'll give you lots of practice too. Amen. Come on, Graham, you got a promise.
Well, I went a few weeks ago to the same conference that Isabel Allam, and I had a prophecy, and she said that I was going to be, rather than pulling back as the enemy wanted me to pull back, I'm going to move forward. I'm going to see greater fruit. I declare that this year will be a year of moving forward, that I will be seeing more lasting fruit and in everything I do and everything I serve the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. We declare it and agree it. Yes, Helen.
The Lord took me to a college called All Nations quite a long time ago, and through taking me there, said that I would be a preacher. So I'm declaring that I will be a preacher to the nation.
Amen.
to the nations. And he's also been saying to me that I will increase and multiply, like Pastor Les just said, in my personal life. So I declare that I will increase and multiply in my personal life, and I will not decrease.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Amen.
A few years ago, I had someone gave me a prophecy, and it was that I was a tank, and that I'd blast things open in the spirit and in prayer. And so I pronounce that and declare that over my life, that in the spirit, I'm a tank, and I'm going to blast things open in prayer.
Yes. Yes. Come on, come on, and amen. It's good to declare it, guys. Take your step.
Yeah, Lord promised me a ministry in women and bringing healing and being an instrument of love and peace. And I just to ask for nations as my inheritance. And I just declare that in Jesus' name.
Yes, 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 yes.
Many years ago, the Lord promised me that this nation belongs to him. And that God's people will rise up with courage and confidence to know who they are and to see cities fall to the name of Jesus. Amen. And that this nation will acquire a reputation in the world as being the nation that exports pioneers, apostles, apostolically, prophetically minded pioneers to establish God's kingdom rule.
That's it. Oh, yes. Come on, Paul, those books, they're waiting to get completed. I trust there's more than six chapters there now. Christmas break.
No. Well, I've had quite a few prophecies spoken over me, and I've actually typed them all out on a few sheets of A4 paper and stuffed them in my Bible, and I look at them quite often, actually. And I do believe that they will all come to pass at some point in time.
Amen.
One of them is to, well, I've three people, all from America, all from Bethel, have said that I'll write books. Was never on my radar to do that. So thought after the third person came, I thought, okay, God, I really better start listening. And so I've started. Got sort of the bones of about the first six or seven chapters. But six or seven chapters, the bones, but finding the time to do it is really hard, so I think I might have to just take some holiday and just knuckle down and do it. And I've also had people prophesy that I'll be sort of a gatekeeper in the church. I'm not quite sure what that means, but certainly something for thought and prayer. And that I'll be a pillar in the church as well.
Amen.
I've had that.
I believe.
As well. Yeah, a few other things, but I won't go into those. That's enough for now.
Thank you. We declare books and pillars and gatekeeper. Anybody else? Anyone else? Come on, it's no, just declare it. Declaring it is actually taking your first step up the mountain. Yeah, come on. Graham's got another one, and then Fiona's standing by.
This is not to embarrass Jason, because he's a friend of mine, but 3 years ago I met Jason, and he was homeless at the time, and he came to stay in my house, and he wasn't a Christian at all, and we started talking, and he wasn't really interested, and then after a while he left, but one day, when God promised me that one day that he would become a Christian, I was just praying, and last night he just turned up, and I hadn't seen him for 2 years. He's been living in South Korea, and about 6 months ago he met with God, and now he's given his life to the Lord.
Amen.
And it was a promise the Lord promised me.
So you see that it works. It works. Come on, climb that mountain, guys.
I think it's the mentoring thing that makes you remember. But I remember my first calling out of secular work was to Israel, and God reminded me of that about a month ago. Not that I'll be going back to live there, but that it's just to have something on your heart, and it was just rekindled. And just to know the fact and to have the faith again to believe that I can get up and go, that I'm not chained,
yeah,
you know, just by bills and whatever,
yeah,
you know, kids. You know, and it's just seasons you go through, and I just believe that season is coming. And I also got, I go to a part-time, I was going to a part-time Bible school, and the guy was from Canada, and they sent it on, and I got it on my files, and it downloaded onto my MP3, and I've been hearing it. I've been hearing it ever since, every time. And I'm going, oh my gosh, you know, one day it has to, if I'm hearing it this much, it has to start, you know. And it was just about being able to ignite fires.
Amen.
With dry people who are hard. And that I'll be able to, it's actually kicking them into mission.
Amen. That's what we're going to be doing here. And you're in the right place. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Can I just say something? I know I'll pass it around, but I just want to say something. People are making declarations here which are exposing something from their lives to us, to each other. I made a decision, Dot and I made a decision together a little while back, that when people come to us, no matter what the issues of their lives are, we will not respond to them according to the problem, but according to the love of Jesus. And we'll look at every life from his perspective and say there's possibilities in this life, because God is not thwarted by what I've done or what anybody else has done. God is totally able to take anybody beyond any circumstance. And I have to respond no differently the way Jesus responds to people. Now, the second thing I'm telling you, as you're making declarations, the enemy is also hearing what you're saying. And that means that when you start to climb a mountain, there are going to be little hawks and things that are going to try to dive bomb you and stop you. And there's usually stuff that comes up that says, oh, no, you won't. And you say, oh, yes, I will, because I made that declaration. And I just stand tonight over every single thing that you've declared here. And I make a promise in Jesus that they are fulfilled. And I declare the power of the blood of Jesus over your life. And I declare the victory of Jesus. And I declare that you will do all things through Christ who gives you strength. And we will not back down. We will not take back down. Because Jesus doesn't call us to. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Say one. You got a promise there. Let's hear it and let's agree with it.
I just want to share one thing, because like Les said earlier, I had a quite tough year this year. And about 3-4 months ago, I was praying with lots of problems, financial, work, and pretty much everything in my life. And I basically put down all this problem and praying to God, you know, show me the answer. What do I need to do, God, to, you know, you can give me an answer. I know you are able of all things, so please give an answer. And quite quickly, he responded to my prayer, and he said, I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but do you love me? And that just, like, shocked me. Because like Les said earlier, he can give us all things. And this is in the book. But he said, if you love me and if you ask for anything, he will give us everything we ask for. But love comes first. Love for him. And that was my answer for all problems that I have. And, like, immediately when I got the answer, that he just asked me, do you love me? He basically answered my question with a question, but that really made me free. And I just, this year my love for God will grow ever so much. And I think that will be, you know, I wouldn't see any mountain or the giant because I love God. And Amen. That's my answer, that's my prophecy of the year that I got from God.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Whoa! Thank you, Lord. You know what's so beautiful? Just like that is how God wants us to run to him, like Father God, just run to him, Papa, just grab him, because that's how he wants to be. Is there anybody else here who wants to make a declaration? Come on, Ephraim, I was wondering when you're going to come here, because you got big plans. I know you have big plans.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I was in America in 1993. And there's a lot of series of prophecy. We had a big conference during that year. And this prophet came and spoke to me and said, you're an apostle. I thought he was joking. You know, I just kept it in mind. And each time I keep on thanking God, I say, I'm an apostle. I say, probably it's going to happen one day. So I went to Nigeria. I stayed for Nigeria for almost 6 months. And during that process, a lot of things happened. We had a land case that started 1811, and we fasted for 40 days. And because of that fasting and praying, we won the case. And the family couldn't understand why we won that case. What happened? What did we use, witchcraft or what? I told them that only Jesus can give us victory. And during that process, there was a prophecy that God wanted the land in my town. I wanted to build a place of prayer, not church. We are tired of church. We have so many churches in my village. But he wanted something different. So I went to the family clan. I said, now we want that land right now. And they gave us the land. The land is there. They're waiting for me to come back so that we can start building the church. Secondly, this each time I go anywhere, they always say one prophecy, Davidic anointing. And I thank God that because of that Davidic anointing, I started to learn music. And David was a man of warfare, was a prophet, was a king, and I declare that I'm a king too. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Come, Tim. Yes. With good knees.
Okay. I haven't had a lot of prophecies like other people saying things over me, but I have a number of words that the Lord has spoken to me personally, and this year seems the beginning of a fulfillment of one of them, which was a few years ago at Faith Camp. God said to me, you will translate teaching books, Christian teaching books, into French, and this will be the start of a teaching ministry. And so that I've done a couple of projects this year. I've got some projects lined up for next year, and I've done my first trip to France to help out in a church, and I'm going in the week after next again. So I hope one or two others be lined up. So it's coming together.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Father. The first of many, Jesus. Surabarava Kandi. Okay, anybody else? Joel? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Thank you. It's difficult to remember everything that has been said, but particularly this year when I wasn't expecting anything, the Lord asked me to go to Palo College, and and I just love it, and I still don't know exactly where it's going, but I'm just obediently learning, receiving a lot, and I'm waiting on him. And but one thing, as my husband just shared there now, one thing we certain that we won't go different ways, so certainly where he will go, I will go too. So I'm just waiting, and I'm quite happy on learning, and hopefully his wisdom and everything I receive will come there and not just here. So it's a great year.
Amen. Thank you, Father. You know, Joel, I believe that going to college is putting your foot on the mountain. It's taking the steps up the mountain which are going to start. And it's starting small, but there's a mountain that you guys are going to conquer. Let's stand together, please. This is amazing because Suzanne used to be here with us right in the beginning when we started. Ask me to say hi. Tell us what you've been doing. Come on. You had a baby since we last saw you.
Yeah. Been having a baby. Getting married. But we are missionaries at the International House of Prayer in Kansas City. And this is my husband, Stephen.
Hello.
And this is... Well, Stephen's been there for the last 4 years or so, being an intercessory missionary. I won't go into too much detail, but in the last year, he's been mainly also been working with a ministry that's called Exodus Cry, and it's a ministry that's like a prayer movement and just work towards to fight human trafficking. But that year, yeah, he's been doing that for the last year, and now we're sort of kind of taking a bit of a break, just taking this vacation to see family and But we'll be going back and going back to the house of prayer and doing carrying on work there. But this is so special. We love you guys. Oh.
Yeah, I guess mainly the journey that I've been on is just learning who Jesus is in the scriptures, and I think the last year was a unique picture of understanding justice and how central it is to the gospel in the application of who the man Jesus Christ is, and understanding his heart for just that justice has to happen, and without a bridegroom, a king, and a judge. And in a messianic worldview, it was actually king, judge, bridegroom. Then we actually never really enter into the fullness of understanding Jesus. And so it was kind of this new just journey the Lord took me on in understanding his heart for justice as the judge, as someone who has to bring just reconciliation to everything, to all of the earth. So anyway, that's kind of, I don't know if that's what you wanted, but.
That's brilliant. Whoa, that's a mouthful. Well, welcome, guys. It's so brilliant. Your parents okay?
Yes.
Okay. No problem. It's give them our love, will you?
Yeah.
Okay, special guys. She was one of the pioneers here. It's amazing. Praise God.